This is the way I heard it.
Victor Sinise was the kind of man people wrote songs about. A sailor in the French Navy, he'd risen through the ranks, distinguishing himself in countless battles and winning praise and admiration from his countrymen. Now, the legendary admiral stood in the wheelhouse of his mighty warship and looked out upon the Adriatic. The hour was late. The sea, a millpond, turned silver in the glow of a waxing moon. He didn't see the periscope poking above the surface, nor did he see the torpedo racing toward his ship. In one terrible blast, both engines were gone, and the admiral's ship was dead in the water. As the sea rushed in, the bow slowly rose. Victor gripped the useless helm as 684 terrified men looked for a way out. Some leapt over the rails into the frigid water. Others tried to launch lifeboats from the rising bow. The officers begged their admiral to attempt an escape. "For the good of France," they pleaded. But Victor refused. If his ship was going down, he'd go down with it. 500 meters away, the U-boat commander watched the nightmare unfold in his periscope and wondered if anybody would ever write a song about him. Not likely. Where was the honor in this kind of battle? Where was the glory? As the doomed ship slipped below the surface, the German commander sighed and turned to his first officer. "I'd rather be fighting in a trench," he said. "There, at least, you can hear the wounded groan. There, a man can fill with rage. But down here, we drown masses of men like cold-blooded cowards." Masses of men was a fair characterization. Under his command, 13 Allied boats were sent to the bottom of the sea, along with thousands of sailors who never saw the face of the man who sealed their fate. But cowardice? Well, that's a matter of perspective. In the First World War, there was no place more hazardous or more harrowing than the pressure hull of an experimental U-boat. Of the 375 to leave German ports, 202 would never return. There was no reliable sonar. The batteries generated toxic gas. They had to resurface for air every 2 hours, which left them defenseless. But underwater, the crew was blind, choking on air thick with diesel, and forever on the brink of some catastrophic mechanical failure. In short, they were death traps, and the men who commanded them knew it. But this commander not only kept his crew alive, he kept his enemies on the run. Eventually, he would receive Austria's highest military honor and the abiding respect of his countrymen. In fact, the self-described coward of the deep became widely known as the Dread of the Adriatic. In fact, this conflicted commander wound up inspiring a few songs, after all, but surprisingly, not for his exploits in battle. When the Germans lost the war, Austria was annexed and the Navy disbanded, so the Dread of the Adriatic resumed his life as a civilian. His first wife gave him 7 children, but died of scarlet fever. His second wife would give him 3 more. With every passing year, his prominence grew, along with his reputation as a bona fide war hero. But when the world geared up for the Second World War, and his new commander-in-chief beckoned him back to service, the Dread of the Adriatic did something extraordinary. He refused. Then he fled the country. At the time, many Germans called it an unthinkable display of cowardice and disloyalty. Others called it treason. But when 2 American composers heard about Georg's insubordination, they took a closer look at his personal life. And before long, Broadway had a new musical, and Hollywood was handing out 5 Academy Awards. Sure, they took some liberties with the facts. They always do, but they got the important parts right. Georg Ritter was a patriot and a soldier. He loved his profession, his country, and his family. And yes, he also loved the nanny who raised his children and burst into song while skipping through the Alpine meadows. You might say that those were a few of his favorite things. But in the midst of singing nuns and precocious kids and all that other do-re-mi, the magnitude of Georg's defiance is easy to forget. and if Rodgers and Hammerstein could have added just one more song to their timeless musical, I'd vote for a haunting ballad called The Coward of the Deep, wherein our conflicted commander ruminates on the pitfalls of patriotism, the barriers of bravery, and the limits of loyalty. Because, really, long before anyone heard The Sound of Music, Georg Ritter was singing The Sound of Sedition. In Nazi Germany, that was a very dangerous tune, and it cost Georg quite a bit. His title, his position, his reputation, and all of his material possessions. But it was better than the alternative, because fighting for Adolf Hitler, that just felt cowardly. And Georg Ritter von Trapp was no coward. Anyway, that's the way I heard it.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.